If you're in withdrawal after the Plaza Classic Film Festival and are just so hungry for some more good cinema, my next guest has the answer. Lifelong film fan, historian, archivist, writer and collector, and director of the Sunset Film Society, Jay Duncan. Welcome, Jay.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
As always, I'm doing my best to keep a straight face because we always get into the giggles when we're together, which is not a bad thing. No. But you are here to tell us about a special presentation of Some Like It Hot.
Yeah. Along about August 17th of last year, we started an event that's now a year later, which is the Sunset Film Society. And so we'll be celebrating our first anniversary coming up tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've moved around a bit, had another location when you first began.
Mm-hmm.
You are now in one of my favorite places on the planet, which is Artovino's Desert Crossing out in Sunland Park. It's just, the place has the feel of a little vacation. So tomorrow, 6 p.m., at Artovino's Desert Crossing. Now, do we need to RSVP?
It's a good thing. It's just as a courtesy to the establishment where they get an idea of a count a little bit ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
where they can set tables properly because there is opportunities to wine, dine, and enjoy a movie.
Yeah, you can do about as much as you are interested in participating in. The number for Artovino's is 575-589-0653. You also have a great website, sunsetfilmsociety.org. Can you take reservations?
Absolutely.
On there? Oh, good.
You go to the contact page and just send me your contact information, and
okay.
I will get you on the RSVP list.
Excellent. Now, if it comes down to kind of a spontaneous thing, what are our chances of getting in if we just show up?
Terrific, because
okay,
we're not
going to
turn you. You know, I would have said at our previous location, we have two chances, you know,
mm-hmm.
slim and none.
Okay,
but
okay.
In this case, there's more room available, so
yes.
It's just everybody come on out.
Yeah, that's super. Now, how did you choose Some Like It Hot for this particular August occasion?
Well, I think everybody is in dire need of some humor.
Usually, yes.
And in fact, every month might be a comedy, the way things look.
You know?
but no, it was voted the number one comedy American film of all time by the American Film Institute, which is in itself an extraordinary accomplishment. Plus, it's a lot of fun. It's got a lot of names in it. It's timely. It's timeless. Because it's set in 1929 Chicago during the gangster era and so
mm-hmm.
forth. So you have period costumes and cars and so forth. So it might as well have been released last week.
And
so it holds up beautifully.
What's a rough outline of the plot for this movie?
Well, Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon mm-hmm. are two musicians. And it's during the Depression. They're looking for work. There is none to be found. And so they go to an agent and says, you know, they are looking for a sax and a bull fiddle player, but it's an all-girl jazz band. And so they think, nah, can't do that. And then happenstance, they run in, I think it's due to foul weather or something, they run into a garage and they are just, you know, happened to be there during the St. Valentine Massacre, and they are seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to go on the lam, they go back and reconsider taking this gig, and so then that's when it all begins.
So it's kind of a double Mrs. Doubtfire duo, God rest dear Robin Williams' soul. Yes.
I know. And with Marilyn Monroe, the ukulele player in the band. And
oh, my. Oh, all righty then. Yes, the plot thickens.
Yes. So it has multi-layers. And it's just really, really fun. I mean, you have a lot of classic either character actors or villainous people from many, many other movies that have guest shots in it. Mike Mazurki and, of course, George Raft, Pat O'Brien, and so forth, playing all these either criminals or cops, you know, that they played in other movies. And it was co-written and directed by Billy Wilder, who everything he touches is good. So it's a winning film, I think, that's suitable for all ages, and we encourage everybody to check it out.
When a person like yourself begins a film society or tries to screen films like these, what does it take for you to acquire the rights to show this film for one evening. What's the drill for you?
Interestingly, there is a, within the copyright law, a fair use clause. And so when it's done in an educational setting, which is means encouraging, you know, audience feedback, sprinkling in film history, mm-hmm. setting forth the production of the film and so forth, and creating a discussion either prior to, afterwards, and so on, you can show the movie.
So you can just pick the DVD up and screen it.
Right. It's not generally and widely known, but it's great because it's great for schools, it's great for film societies and so forth, and you don't have to worry about, is somebody breathing over my shoulder ready to confiscate
this? As long as there's a genuine, defensible educational component to the thing. And there always is in the Sunset Film Society, thanks to you. But, so if I have people over to my house and show a favorite DVD and charge $20 a head, that's allowable.
No, because then the likes of a Lucas, a Spielberg, or a Disney rep would be there wanting their cut.
You know, it might be worth it just to see Spielberg on my front porch, but I guess something tells me he wouldn't personally come to
one of his
to smack
minions,
me for that.
Probably. Yes. I think it's an opportunity in this setting. It is not a requirement for you to purchase anything. It is totally free. We do not sell tickets, so it's a free.
You are not getting rich and saving up for that Ferrari.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Yeah. That's in the third childhood movie. This is just a dry run. So it's just a lot of fun, and it averages, depending on the film, but we have a kind of a hardcore of regulars now since we've been at it now, and this will be our 13th presentation. So we're just now celebrating, you know, the first year of 30 to 50 people.
That's a good turnout. 30 to 50 is a good turnout. And, well, you've had a marvelous selection of films up to this point. I mean, you started out with The Music Box and Somewhere in Time, and it just got richer and more varied from there. Are you still starting out with little shorts?
Yeah. Short films? You know, the whole purpose, and I've always found it personally to my liking, to have a film showing that kind of at least simulates the old movie-going experience. So, mm-hmm. if it can have a cartoon, a featurette, a mini documentary,
there's
or something
about that. You know, it just makes me feel like a little kid again.
Well, good. Then we're doing our job.
There you go. Yeah. The old setup where you went in and had that rhythm.
Sure.
That was set in the old way.
And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to besmirch the reputations of obviously the. The corporations that are running movie theaters now, yes, I am. but I don't really enjoy going. I love theatrical trailers. Anything extra involving the film, yeah. But when you're going to see a movie and you're leaving the house in a conscious effort not to see commercials, I don't want to see Coca-Cola commercials. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's a money thing, like everything.
We've been advertised and, the nth degree.
But there should be a safe haven somewhere.
Yes, you sit still long enough, you're going to have a sign on you. Feels like it anyway. My guest today, director of the Sunset Film Society, Jay Duncan, inviting us all to attend the anniversary presentation of Some Like It Hot, the number one American comedy film of all time. And that'll be tomorrow, 6 p.m., Artovino's Desert Crossing in Sunland Park. Give them a phone call, let them know you're coming at Artovino's, or visit sunsetfilmsociety.org to RSVP, or just show up and have a great time. Thank you so much for coming in,
Monica.
Jay.
It's always delightful.